Matt Wolf wins the 3M Championship. We sit down with Canadian legend Lori Kane, and it's only 1 week away from the Open Championship. We'll talk about all that and more. Before we do that, welcome to the Flagstick.com Tee Talk podcast. My name is Stefan Tiedorf, not sitting across from me, but rather sitting in a Walmart parking lot on his cell phone is the associate publisher of Flagstick.com and a PGA of Canada professional, Scott McLeod. Scotty, how are you doing today? Playing a little golf?
Yeah, I was playing a little bit of golf today. I know it's golf season in the fact because I am sitting in a Walmart parking lot and I am on the road a whole bunch, but I did manage to get out today. I was playing in the Flagstick.com Players Tour Pro Championship at Camelot Golf Club in Ottawa. Thankfully, the nice sponsors of Cleveland's Rixon and Exio are, you know, behind the event. And we played okay today, but didn't get in the money, unfortunately.
Why don't you give us a quick breakdown of what this tournament actually is that you're playing in?
So basically, it's a team event. You basically select one other pro and you play in it 18 holes. Better ball for six holes, scramble for six holes, and Chapman for six holes. With Chapman, if people are not familiar with the format, you basically each hit a tee shot, then you hit each other's golf balls from there, pick the best one, and then play alternate shot from there. So it tends to be a challenging format. Always interesting. I played with Derek McDonald from the Marshes, who I played with a few times before in this, good friend. And unfortunately, four under today. We just weren't sharp, unfortunately. Have not been playing a lot of golf. We did okay. We were kind of middle of the field, and that's about it.
Well, I can tell you after my showing at Magna Golf Club last week, you wouldn't have picked me regardless of my status, but we're going to get into that later. before we do, let's talk about this tournament on the weekend. Matt Wolf picked up his first win at the 3M Open. That was being played at TPC Twin Cities. Kind of a different event going into the week. No, it was a new event. People didn't really know what to expect. Ended up being extremely exciting down the stretch. And as I mentioned, Matt Wolf picks up his first win, which he needed really badly. He only had kind of limited status out there, just playing out on sponsors exemptions as he just left college at the young age of 20. Can't even drink yet in the States. So as he said, he was going to celebrate with some virgin pina coladas, minus 21 for the week.
Sure he was.
Yeah, exactly. Eagling 18 for the win. I don't know if you got to watch any of the golf this weekend, Scotty, but that was an exciting way to finish.
Yeah, it really was. And like you said, we're really expecting a lot from this being a new event, being at a TPC course. Unfortunately, most of the TPC courses are pretty bland, but it didn't really matter in the end. It really came down to the cast of characters. I mean, Matt Wolf basically dueling it out with Colin Morikawa and Bryson DeChambeau in there, and the boys sure made it exciting at the end. And for Matt Wolf to get a win in his fourth PGA Tour start was pretty incredible. We knew this kid had a lot of talent. He was going to do something in the game, but for him to do it so quickly in his fourth start was certainly unexpected, even by the biggest fans and biggest supporters of Matt Wolf.
Absolutely. And I think obviously the story behind this guy and the reason everyone knows about him is that unique swing he has. What can we learn about this swing? Can you give us a quick breakdown from the professional's perspective? Because I mean, from an amateur eye, I mean, I guess I know a little bit more about the golf swing than the average Joe, but up until contact, it's a little wonky, but at contact, that thing is pure.
Yeah, I mean, he is a great ball striker, and I think what people sort of forget is that the only thing that really matters in the end about the golf swing is that it's how the golf club itself is delivered to the ball. The ball only knows what the club is doing, and that's about it. So anything else is basically just, you know, it's fluff, really. I mean, there's a lot of things that are in there that you need to do to hit the golf ball well, but this is a guy who basically takes the golf club up very what you would consider outside and then lays the club down and then brings it back in. And, you know, if you watch his motion as well, he's got a little bit of a hitch sort of at the start that he uses. He originally used it to sort of get his alignment where he sort of twists his upper body and his hips towards the target quickly, and that's sort of his kicker to start his golf swing. Then he gets a little bit of forward press in there and then lifts that club up on the outside and lays it down. So it doesn't look like you know, the pitcher, you know, the storybook golf swing that a lot of people would talk about in the 70s and the 80s and 90s. You know, they'd look at it and go, man, this doesn't look like a great golf swing. It looks terrible. But you know what? He can perform with it. He gets the club at impact where he needs to. He believes in it. And man, you know what? It's already won on the PGA Tour really quickly. So, you know what? I think people now are really understanding that it's about impact more than anything. And pretty doesn't necessarily matter that much.
Yeah, no, it definitely works. And I was actually going to say, and I'm not saying your swing isn't pretty, but you kind of almost get to that same point at the top of your backswing where it's a little across the line more than, you know, as you just described, the picture perfect swing. And then you both just rock it right into the slot. And I give you heck for being old on here, but boy, can you boy can you launch a golf ball. And it's clear, as you said, it's where you get to, not how you got to there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really about, you know, you'll hear the word matchups all the time. And it's really finding the way to put other elements in your golf swing to sort of even them up to get where you need to go. And really, in the end, that's all that matters. And I know with my golf students, I don't really teach, you know, a look. I don't teach about, it's not about form. It's all about function. So if you looked at even some of the students that I work with, you know, they may play the same game, they may post the same score, but they don't always get there the same way.
Absolutely. A couple other stories coming out of the weekend. Big shout out to Adam Hadwin, who finished solo fourth, which was awesome to see. Victor Hovland, this kid, he's close too. Obviously, he came out with Matt Wolf at the same time, turning pro. Another top 20 for this kid. And he's constantly up there in strokes gained driving. This kid, he hits the ball far and dead straight. I think he hit like 85% of fairways or something. He's just ridiculous, this guy. He's gonna win soon. He doesn't have that many more starts, but you will not forget this guy. The other guy we want to talk about just really quickly is Brooks Koepka, finishing 65th. And I was listening to the Golf Channel. I was like, whoa, like, why doesn't he care about regular tournaments? I don't know if that's actually the case. I think we are really overselling it. It's just the fact that this guy just is another level in majors. For the people listening, T2 at the Masters this year, T2 at the US Open, and a win at the PGA Championship. I don't know if he just gets to another level. He doesn't get it on a regular week, or what are your thoughts?
I mean, he might have some extra motivation, obviously playing in the majors. It gets his a little bit attention more, but I mean, he's not playing in the golf tournament to finish, you know, 65th. No. You know, he's there to win. He just happens not to do it. And I mean, you know, does it mean he cares less? You know, I guess some people take some of his comments, you know, they take them a little too seriously of, you know, it being just a prep for this or that. And I don't think it's the case. I mean, I think he wants to win other events besides majors. He just, you know, he just didn't do it. I mean, who knows what else is going on in his life at the same time?
Exactly. He's only missed one cut all year. I believe he was sick that week too. He's also won another tournament this year, which was in, I know it was a while ago. It's actually closer to this tournament than when it happened. It was in October. So, which is a whole other thing I don't want to get into of how the PGA Tour never stops.
They just the wraparound season. Yeah.
Can you imagine like the NHL ending? Like, all right, game one, let's go. Like, it's just like, give us a break here. You know, give other tours, you know, a shout out. Let them get some TV time. Show the web finals or something. Like, give these guys a break. But yeah, no, it's not that he's having a bad year by any stretch in the other tournaments. He just, you know, I think he just turns it up a notch in majors, and it's clearly working. So, you know, at the end of the day, we really count majors as the really selling point on a guy's career on the PGA Tour. So I think he's doing okay. That, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I think he is for sure. And I love your mention of Victor Hovland there. I mean, T13 this week, and he definitely got the tools to be out there. Whether he earns enough to get himself enough FedEx points to get a special temporary exemption or not, that's hard to say. But, you know, I could certainly see him going through into the season here if he doesn't earn enough money. And if, you know, for some reason, if he has to go down and play the Corn Ferry Tour or whatever the case, it doesn't really matter. At some point, he is going to be performing well on the PGA Tour. It just might not be, you know, right away.
No, absolutely. Good transition over to what we were up to last week. You mentioned Brooks Koepka there, and it's that he's not out there not to win tournaments. We actually sat down with Lawrie Cain last week. This is an interview we finished while we were at Magna Club for the media day, and this is something she talked about is, yeah, she is older in her career, but she's still out there when she's going to tee it up at the Canadian Open. She's out there to compete. She's not out there just to hang out.
Yeah, I mean, she always says that she's not a ceremonial golfer. I mean, her whole career, she competed. She won 4 LPGA Tour events. I mean, if she didn't want to be out there, she could, you know, she's got more than enough going on in her life that she could just kind of stay at home and, you know, count her few dollars and hang out at the house. And, but, you know, she wants to compete and she doesn't want to be a ceremonial player. And the fact that she's even, you know, she's playing her 29th CP Women's Open. She is an ambassador for CP. She does a lot of charity work, you know, and that's a big part of her being involved with this tournament. But when she goes out, she has expectations of herself, and she's always working on her game as well. She works hard with Danny Sharp, who's her caddy. I know she's been doing a little bit of other work as well with another friend, Casey Ward. She was doing some work on body track and stuff with her earlier this year. And yeah, she's always a gamer, even in her 50s now. She's not there just to show up and finish 65th. She wants to compete.
I think it's a great time to actually talk to Lawrie. We'll send it over to our interview with Lawrie Cain at Magna Golf Club for the CP Women's Open Media Day now.
All right, we want to welcome to the podcast Canadian legend Lawrie Cain, right here at Magna Golf Club, where the CP Women's Open is going to be held later this year. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
It has been quite a career for you, and obviously now you have a certain role at the CP Women's Open event. You're going to be playing. How many years have you played now?
Well, if we go by weeks, these calculations, this is 29.
You're going to leave it at that, right?
Yeah. I don't know that he's right, though. Like, but you guys are the media, so I would have to think
it should be close. We'll dig into that. What are your thoughts on the golf course here?
Oh, well, I think it's way beyond time that we're playing in a bigger venue. You know, the GTA or the greater GTA, as this is known as, just has a different, Magna. The name stands for itself.
Yeah.
You know, there were media in the room today that I haven't seen, but I follow because I'm a Leafs fan. So, you know.
You should follow me then.
Yeah. So it's just different. It's a little bit bigger. I think we discussed the golf course is going to be fantastic. It's the 1st of July and the rough is pretty thick. I'm sure they'll kind of manicure it back, but come August, it will play like it should for the CP Women's Open, which is our national championship. Should be a test of golf. The fairways here at Magna are generous. However, if it is running, you're going to have to, Brooke will cut corners that I won't. And then, got to work it into the greens.
Well, that's the thing. The fairways are generous if you can find one in between the 395 bunkers that are out there.
Right.
Yeah, I found 394 of them. Yeah, I missed the one, unfortunately. The one thing that I'm wondering out on the golf course is it's there's not a lot of area for people. They're going to be really packed in small places. Where do you see people align? Where can you see big grandstands? Because I was trying to visualize it out there. It's going to be a tight fit.
Well, I don't necessarily think there needs to be a whole lot of construction of grandstands. I think what will be fun is 16, 17, 18, 15, 16, 17, 18. They all come back to the golf course on the backside. And then we play away from the course for the few. And so there's high points where fans, if I'm a spectator that likes to follow, I can maybe go a hole ahead and see the vantage points. The fairways are the cart paths. If you just stayed on the cart path, you could get to a high point of the cart path and still see the hole. I'm sure that, 17 is the birdies for heart hole. They'll find some way to get some grandstands in there. There'll be the fan zone. And then back to the front of the clubhouse, the 18th hole, you know, yeah, I think the course is fan friendly.
Yeah.
But it is a big piece of property.
Yeah. And one thing you touched on there is you are really close to the players. You've played in events for, you know, 20 years we were mm-hmm. talking about before. We'll leave it at that number. You don't want to go higher than 20 years. What's the difference of when they're right beside you? And that's kind of what the LPGA is known for, is that more fan-friendly atmosphere. What's the difference for you as a player?
Well, you never want to screw up in front of somebody, so it's nice to have some people following. And Canadian fans are very respectful, very knowledgeable of the game. Like last year in Regina, it was spread out around the golf course. Obviously, we knew where Brooks' group was because I have video from the clubhouse that was just streams of people getting from the 9th hole to the 10th hole, and it was pretty much a cluster right there. And that may happen here. But I also think that the way this place is designed, it's, as I just said, it's going to allow people to spread out a little bit. And I'm fingers crossed. Like, you know, we just had a great men's open. I think the date change is going to allow us to benefit on, you know, the corporate world and also the fan to come see us in August.
What for you have you seen in the progress of the National Women's Open from when you first played into it to now, and the difference of, I guess, the magnitude of it, of how it's respected and the more sponsors involvement? And, you know, you mentioned it's nice to now come to, you know, higher profile venues. I mean, what has that meant to you personally to see that growth?
Well, let's go back to when it was, you know, I'm dating myself now for sure, but so when it was considered a major on our tour, they, you know, I guess I can, we're on a podcast. I guess I can say Du Maurier.
Yes.
In Du Maurier days, they did it right. It was a major.
Yeah, yeah, Royal Ottawa. I mean, right. I followed you with Annika.
Exactly.
And, you know, it was,
and
it was a great
ran
week.
Out of gas that
yes,
week.
Exactly.
that's probably the one kind of thing I'd like to change, but can't. So, what has happened is you've got a company like Canadian Pacific who does business one way, and that's, if their name is on it, then it's going to be top notch from, you know, type of golf course we play, where we play, how the players are treated, you know, how we can entertain. Let's face it, they're using women's golf as a vehicle to drive business
sure.
and also drive us.
Yeah, which is great.
Us.
I mean, that works, right?
Yeah.
It's a mutually beneficial
right.
relationship.
That's what sport is. You know, it's a good vehicle. It's like the Jerry Maguire, let me help you help me. And we're benefiting from it greatly. Love this opportunity to be here at Magna, because I don't think in the short time that CP has been with us that we have played a venue quite like this.
Mm-hmm. No, you said in your media today, came in after and you said, hey, there's one blade of grass out of a place
right.
on 15.
Yeah.
You're not lying. Like I was saying, like one of our playing partners took a divot and they're like, oh, my divots, I can't find it. I was like, don't worry, some guy's going to come out of the woods. He's going
right.
to fill it
he's
in
gonna
for
fill
you.
It in. That's right. And just the whole, like, you know, we know who could be members here, and we
right.
know the history of Magna and how it was built and the, you know, the upper echelon kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's fun for us to be here. Doesn't undermine any of the other great properties that we've played at, like, you know, Hunt Club in London, the players love it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so,
yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
I think
go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I think the players will love, as you touched on, being in the GTA and, you know, Toronto is regarded as one of the best cities in the world. Obviously, big year with the Raptors
right.
winning and that excitement and the players of the NBA talking about it. Now, the LPGA gets to come here. They get to go downtown Toronto and spend a week here, which
right.
is different than going to, let's face it, Regina in
yep.
July.
Right. And even like the city is moving out. You know, I know we're in the town of or city of Aurora.
Yeah, but it's pretty much right on the doorstep still
exactly.
right now. Yeah, it's
yeah.
part of Toronto, really.
Yeah. And where I'm staying in Markham, and I'm checking out restaurants and the types of restaurants that our players like to be at. And we're multicultural, our country, and this is a very diverse area. So I think it's a home run.
Now, I mean, you play this event. You're obviously exempt. You have a you have a sponsorship partnership with CP, but you know, you're playing this to play well as well too, right? So, and you are playing the PGA Championship of Canada mm-hmm. this week.
Right.
You still have a pretty strong schedule that you go through. How's your game?
My game is trending in the right direction, to be honest. I had a difficult winter in that I had tennis elbow and wasn't able to go take my normal jaunt down to Australia to play the 6 or 7 weeks that I play down there.
So I was a little bit,
I'm a little bit, non-game sharp, kind of like gotcha. Tournament.
Yeah.
So I feel you on that right now. Magna will do that too.
Yes, it will. So, you know, I'm looking forward to competing this week at Toronto Ladies and at our PGA event. And then I've got a couple commitments at home, Mill River, where I'm working with, we're going to be hosting the Boys and Girls Club event with Summerside for the town city of Summerside. And a couple of things are keeping me from playing in some LPGA events that now I would get in.
Right.
Because my number is where it is, I'm kind of a last minute to the dance. So I've had to unfortunately withdraw due to other commitments. So my plan is to play as much competitive golf as I can between now and Magna, the CP Women's Open here. You know, I don't want to play ceremonial golf. Like, I'm here to compete, but I'm also here to help raise awareness for CP Has Heart and to encourage people to donate so that we can match it. And Sick Kids in Southern Lakes,
I believe that's what it is.
Yeah, the regional hospital, will be benefiting greatly.
Yeah, $1.7 million, I guess, is the goal for it, which is fabulous, and how it can, you know, support the community. And you know, that's always been big for you, whether it has been CP Has Heart or other charities. But, you know, personally, this has really touched you in a lot of ways because it is cardiac care, right?
Absolutely. You know, my dad had a heart attack while we were playing in London at the time, so many years ago. And even myself, I wasn't feeling very well last year and I really didn't know why. And I had some issues with blood pressure, and we as women symptom different than men do. And it's because of my connection to my CP family that they were able to talk to Dr. Greenway from Calgary, who is a pediatric specialist, who got me in touch with Dr. Sharon Mulvey, who is now set up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, working at the QEH2, and she has a women's clinic. And, you know, we need some more. We're stubborn as women because we ignore kind of the things that happen. So I'm feeling a whole lot better about things and really moving forward. We just keep, you know, swinging the clubs when we can and promoting this great game.
That's awesome. The other thing I was going to ask you as well, obviously the heart is extremely important in what we're here for. Tennis elbow is something that comes up a lot in golf. What did you do to solve it? Because I've had both elbows at one point. My buddy was complaining about it on the golf course. What did you do to get it so you're
so
more
comfortable? I have some really good therapists. It started with Colin Moore, who's in Charlottetown, sport physio, and he kind of got... I didn't swing a club or hit a shot from the 20th of October to the 8th of January, and that's a long time for Lori Kane not to have hit a ball.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever gone that long.
No.
Like holding on to a club, I couldn't even hold on to a club.
Wow.
So, I talked to, you know, got some help from Dr. Bill Stanish in Halifax, and he said, yeah, he diagnosed it as tennis elbow. And, Colin felt it may too be coming from my shoulder, but I have needles. I've had ice. I've had stem treatment. I've had, you know, and then our therapist that we have, with Top Tier Sport that follow the LPGA tour, the few times that I could see them in Orlando, I did, basically came down to rest and then learning a new way to practice. So if I was sore, there's a difference between pain and soreness. And then a stubborn athlete's mind is trying to determine that because I wanted to just keep going. And I probably benefited from having to adjust my practice schedule and what I was working on with Danny Sharp. And we took a lot of swings without even hitting a ball. And so I know when I get up in the morning, if it's sore, I need to just kind of take a take a little chill, but it will go away. But I think if you let it, if you push it, if I had kept going, well, I don't think I could have kept going because I couldn't hold on to the club.
That's well, I mean, no the key is it doesn't matter what it is. Like, take care of yourself. Go get things checked out. Obviously, your heart is a super serious issue. Right. But as you talked about, you don't need to play through pain. Soreness is one thing. Yeah. But if you are dealing with pain, go talk to somebody. You're not tough for not talking right, to anybody exactly. about these yeah. things.
And we don't have to be like the NHL. I have an upper body injury.
Because no, Brooke's not coming around the corner with her nine iron on your elbow.
Well, you hope not, at least. You mentioned Mill River in there. Now, we ran into each other at Glasgow Hills yeah. in the fall on a yeah. very wet, ugly day. Now, you only you copped out after nine. We played the full 18. But anyways, we did get up to Mill River after that. You know, you've started that affiliation with them. They've done massive renovation there as well. Why don't we give a few minutes for you to kind of be the ambassador for Mill River and say, you know, some of the things that, you know, what they've done there.
Don McDougall and his family, so golf product, the AccuForm days, and then the Blue Jays.
Yeah, exactly.
Don is the reason probably the Blue Jays are here. Former president of Labatt. He's from that area and has really taken on a project upgrading the hotel, the resort, expanding on what we can offer as a resort. And then, you know, the icing on the cake is the golf course. And it's a good test of golf. And I think it'll continue to get better. It's fun for me as their ambassador to, you know, to field questions from people about the resort, to help kind of change the perspective of how we can make the golf course better. You know, thin out some trees that have been long time, probably should have been
yeah,
taken down.
The course is almost 50 years old now.
Yeah.
So,
and,
yeah.
And then, you know, bring Mill River into this, you know, day and age of yeah. being able to see the river. It's yeah. a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, really, and that resort's amazing. I mean, what he's done. And the nice little touches, too. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what the community he's from nearby, but I know...
Mid-Nagash.
That's exactly it. So they had the they had some of the... in the bedrooms, they had some of the...
from the mill.
Yeah,
the Woolen Mill, which is just down
exactly.
the street.
Yeah, so it's...
A road.
Yeah, road. Yeah, exactly. We're having a good PEI talk here, Stefan. Sorry about this.
Hey. McCausland Mill?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. just some beautiful...
I mean, yes, it's very... you know, there is great life at the west end of the island. Some of the best lobster and shellfish come from that end. Tuna fishing. And it's worth the trip. And the resort is a great spot. I mean, I'm really pleased that Mr. McDougall has taken a liking to me. Our family history goes back, and he and my dad. And then just to see the freshness that comes with being a part of something old but new.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. The queen of PEI says go visit PEI. Go to Mill River Golf Course. Sounds like a beautiful resort. I think we're running out of time with you, but Lori, we really appreciate
Thanks,
your time.
Guys.
We can't wait to see you out here in August. And she's going to compete out here. She
yeah.
said she's going to compete out here.
Oh, yeah. There's no... yeah.
We're not out here for a ceremony.
No.
We're out here to stomp.
I'm going
to
be doing my best.
I love
Perfect.
It.
Good luck this week as
Thank
well
you.
At the Ladies Golf Club in Toronto.
Perfect.
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks very much.
Thanks again to Lori Kane for sitting down with us at Magna Golf Club. What an amazing woman. That was the first time I've met her. You've known her for a lot of your lives, let's say that. And clearly you guys are close. And she, I think we could have sat down with her for an hour over a couple glasses of wine. Just an amazing lady and an amazing ambassador for CP and the Canadian women's game.
She really is. And I mean, she's a sweetheart. She really is the queen of PEI. Bob Weeks always jokes and calls her the queen of PEI, but you know, she's so well known. And not only was she a representative of PEI, she became a member of the Order of Canada. She represents Canada well, the LPGA well, does a lot of things. And as you mentioned, she would sit and gab for, you know, she would have a good gab for an hour if we could have, if we had had the time. And we always really appreciate any time we can spend with Lori and you know, just her insight on the game and everything about it, and her great humor as well. And certainly we're lucky here in Canada that she's been leading the way for LPGA players from Canada for quite some time.
This is going to be a great tournament. The CP Women's Open is at Magna Golf Club in the end of August. We were lucky enough to go out there and play the course. I say lucky enough. I don't know if I was that lucky to play that golf course. So how these media days work, this was my first media day, but we got there bright and early. Played 18 holes at Magna Golf Club. Not a piece of grass out of place. We talked about that with Lori.
Yeah,
just not at all. perfect conditions. Beautiful, beautiful track. I don't know if it's a hard course or not, or if I just didn't know how to hit a golf ball anymore. I'm pretty sure it was that portion. There's bunkers everywhere. And we talked about that with Lori, is that there's things everywhere, and my biggest concern is, where are we going to put the people? We talked to the guys from Levelware. They were wondering, you know, trying to figure out how to set up their caddy shack that they plan on having there. But there's not a lot of room out there, Scotty.
No, it's a tight golf course. I mean, it's an ultra private golf course, and it's not really designed to have, you know, spectators out there. There's certain holes that allow some more fans to be down there. I know they're going to have fans basically down one side of each hole. They're only going to rope one side, and that's going to help alleviate that a bit. But, you know, given the fact that this is the first time that the CP Women's Open has been back in the GTA since 2001, we do have the Brooke effect, which I'll call it. I mean, we used to talk about the Tiger effect, but now it's the Brooke effect in Canada. So I'm not sure where they're going to go as far as, you know, ticket sales and the volume of those, but they will pack them in there. What I want to know from you is, you know, I played the golf course before, and as you mentioned, you kind of, you know, got a little wayward here and there, but, you know, what were the features that maybe stood out beyond the conditioning?
There were, I said in our interview with Lori, there were, I think, just let me count it up, 4,365 bunkers on the golf course. And I think the layout really is, it's a tee shot golf course.
Right.
You have to hit a great tee shot. And then from there, the actual course is fine. It's getting yourself into play and avoiding those bunkers, which, you know, I'm going to just claim it now. I have the driver yips right now. I've figured that out. That's what I figured out on the golf course that day, is I have the yips. That's what I was going to blame it on. Not a course to have it on. And I think the best drivers, whoever's going to hit it the most accurate, are going to set themselves up, because the greens have so much undulation, and they're not that big. At least I felt that.
Yeah, I think placement that way. Once you get yourself in the fairway, you're right. It's really going to come down to proximity to the hole and leaving yourself below the hole in a lot of cases. Didn't really get a chance to talk to Brooke. She was out obviously touring around the golf course, having a look at it, chatted to her dad a little bit, her coach. And, you know, she didn't have her clubs with her, so she really didn't get a full look at the golf course. But I agree with the assessment that, you know, it's going to take a lot of good tee shots. And once their players are done there, they just have to make sure that they place the ball properly on the greens to make sure they're in a position, you know, below the hole, obviously, or, you know, on an angle that they can make putts. Because otherwise, if they end up getting above the hole all day, it's going to be some long rounds, that's for sure.
And they're going to speed those things up. They're rolling nice and smooth. They weren't fast by any means. That's probably, you know, it is a members course. It is a super private course. I don't think they want to have lightning fast greens when they're just coming out every single day. But when the LPGA shows up, they're going to be slick. They're going to be firm. There is a lot of break in them. The thing that that stands out to me, though, as we said, is you need to be a great driver of the golf ball to win. And that's kind of what the ladies do, is they hit a lot of fairways. They hit it straight. You're not necessarily going to need to hit it all that long, depending on where they have it set up. But if you're hitting it in the fairway, you're finding a piece of that green on the right side, it's going to be a good week. I think anybody could win, but obviously the longer, straighter hitters are going to have an advantage out there. But what a great day we had at Magna Golf Club. Brooke Henderson being there, they had a lot. They had a lot of people there for sick kids. And CP was there talking about how their initiatives, especially around women's health and the heart specifically, and how they're donating a lot of money this week, especially what they're doing on the 17th hole.
Yeah, they've got the birdies hole there. I guess it's $5,000 for a birdie that they're going to donate. And I mean, really, the goal in the end for CP is to raise $1.75 million for sick kids. And, you know, that goes a long way to, you know, paying for a lot of state-of-the-art equipment at Sick Kids Hospital. And, you know, in the end, that is really what it's all about. But it certainly should be a good show. Everybody that's in Toronto that's going to get access is going to, you know, obviously they're going to love seeing the players. They're going to love seeing this golf course because a lot of people wouldn't have the opportunity to get inside the gates here at this golf course just on an ordinary basis. You know, they only have, I guess, just over 240 or maybe 270 members, I guess. So, you know, it's not like everybody gets to see this every day. And as you mentioned, it's pristine as far as the condition is concerned. The greens are going to be fast. If I recall, even 2 years ago at the CP Women's Open at Ottawa Hunt, the greens were over 12 back then, and I could see them being that speed as well at Magna. So the players are going to be treated wonderfully. I think they're going to enjoy it, and I think they're going to enjoy it away from the golf course as well. They're going to have a lot of opportunities to get down into the city, see a lot of sites in Toronto or around Toronto as well. So I think with the support of CP and just how well run this event is and being in the GTA, I think it'll make for a great week.
Yeah, and they're still looking for volunteers. As I said, like, we were lucky to play this golf course. Sometimes they do allow the volunteers to get out after the tournament is over and play the golf course. I'm not guaranteeing that by any stretch of the imagination, but it's worth the time. Go volunteer for this tournament. It's going to be a great time, and we'll be out there all week. We can't wait. There's a big tournament coming up in a week, but we got one more tournament before that. We have the John Deere Classic this week, or as I like to call it, the Steve Stricker Open Championship, where this guy just turns into Tiger Woods for a week. He won it three times already. He's back this week, and there's still a spot up for grabs in the Open.
Yeah, it really, this is a kind of a cool thing in the fact that, yes, he always plays well there. Zach Johnson plays well there. A lot of the Midwest guys, and the fact that that one spot is still up for the Open. So if you look at a player like, you know, Matt Wolf, you know, has not qualified for the Open yet. So here's an opportunity that maybe he goes back to back, or, you know, there is still a lot of up for grabs, and it's certainly worth a tournament worth watching.
He has qualified for the Masters, though, which is a huge thing for a 20-year-old. And one little sidebar is our former guest, Rob Miller, from Golf WRX, today found out he actually won Masters tickets through the draw. It's for his first time in his life.
Yeah.
I found out I didn't win through him winning that way, but
that's what most people find out. That was the funny thing. I saw that from Rob as well, and you know, usually you see the tweets from people go, oh no, you know, maybe next year or whatever. And then, you know, all of a sudden to see that from Rob, I mean, you know, he's a great guy. I'm excited for him. And I was just sort of taken aback because I was like, wow, nobody ever tweets the fact that they actually won the tickets.
No. And it was funny because if you actually go on Rob, so go back to and listen to our episode with Rob Miller from Golf WRX. What a great, funny guy. But if you actually go to his Twitter account, he actually tweeted about 20 minutes before that he was expecting his denial email any minute now. And then he goes in and he sees. So huge shout out to Rob. Back to this week. Yeah, Matt Wolf, he's fighting for it. A lot of guys are still fighting for it. There is, as I said, a spot up for grabs for the winner, but they're obviously a top five for if the other guys above have gotten in. Jordan Spieth obviously won this tournament a few years ago to get in the Open for his first win with that hole-out birdie from the bunker. And another thing coming out today, Tiger Woods posted a video on Nike's Twitter or Instagram account, I apologize, saying he's been getting up at 1 a.m. each day to prepare himself for the travel and being in that time zone. And my take on that is maybe go play a golf tournament instead of that, because I feel like that might be more important, Tiger. Like, why don't you go over there and play the Irish Open instead, or play something else? Like, what are you doing? This is silly.
Yeah, you know what? That is a kind of a weird thing. And I mean, he obviously hasn't played a lot. He's become a part-time golfer. You know, granted, he did win the Masters. We'll give him credit for that one as well.
Yeah, but I guess so.
I don't know, you know, if you're just waking up, why don't you just wake got and play some golf as well. So, you know, there's no reason why he couldn't be in the field for the Scottish Open this week. And although it's not a traditional links course, and being it's on the east coast of Scotland, it's not as close to Northern Ireland as it could be, but at least it's in the same time zone and you'd be playing golf and getting your game sharp. So I'm not sure how getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning and hanging around your place in Jupiter is really getting you ready for Royal Portrush, because last I checked, Royal Portrush and Jupiter do not look alike in any possible way.
Yeah, they're not that close to each other. So, like, I guess by his logic, if I start getting up at 12 a.m. and maybe I'll be ready for the Open, I'll just be a better golfer. That's how I'm picking up on what he's saying.
Or a better spectator for you.
Yeah, better caddy maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Either way, Tiger, I mean, he's a legend. He's arguably the best ever. One win away, and sure, we'll give it to him, if not now, but you know, it's weird. It doesn't make sense. Obviously we want to see him out there. He's not going to go play the John Deere and then have to figure out the differences in time with his body. He is older. No. I get that. But as you said, go play the Scottish Open, go play the Irish Open, play something in between the US Open and the Open Championship. But hey, he's thinking this is what's best for him. As you said, he won the Masters this year, so maybe he knows what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of links experience, but there's no substitute for it. I mean, I've done trips before where you go back over and you start to play links golf again, and it's so different. And just trying to adapt to it and trying to get your mind around it, that it's not about yardages, it's about hitting shots and you know, playing the ball on the ground a lot more, and God knows what the weather could do. It's a different mindset. And I don't think there's anything that you can do to prepare for that. I mean, you know, TrackMan has they've just released Royal Portrush on the simulator, and you know, I've managed to whack the ball around on Royal Portrush on the TrackMan 4, and I guarantee you that has no, you know, although it looks like the golf course, it's not the same as getting out there and being on that links turf and having to hit the shots that you have to hit over there. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he's smarter than us. I mean, he's got 15 majors and 81 wins. So maybe he's got the winning formula.
Yeah. One guy that may, I mean, we're going to get into the Open all next episode, so we don't want to go too far into it, but one guy that's coming in hot, John Rahm, picks up the win at the Irish Open. This guy's, he's kind of quieted down over the last, you know, maybe this year, you could say, but that's a big win at the right time for John.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, we almost forget in the, you know, in the great fanfare over some of these 20-year-olds that are out, John Rahm is still only 24 years old. So, you know, he's won two Irish Opens now. You know, that's great preparation at La Hinch there to be ready for the Open. You know, certainly we can't count him out, as long as he can keep his emotions in check. I mean, he looked like he was in good form this week, and that every interview I saw with him, he seemed to be smiling. And I guess it's just, if he gets sideways, and links courses can do that to you, but he certainly pulled it off this week, and he's showing that, you know, he's still capable, and we shouldn't forget about him. And maybe that's sort of the statement from some of these guys, that, you know, maybe Spieth will be the same, saying, hey, don't forget about me. I was your, you know, I was your golden boy just a little while ago, and I'm still here. So I expect we'll see John Rahm in the mix probably in the next couple weeks again as well.
Absolutely. And what a great weekend again for the European Tour. These guys, it's just a fun tour. And they, I don't know if you saw today, I mean, you're a little bit busy, I guess, whacking on a golf course.
Maybe.
Again, their social media team, nobody does it better. And we technically work in social media, you and I, in a little bit, but nobody,
yeah, for sure.
Nobody does it better than these guys. And nobody's safe with these guys either. So they've obviously pranked guys in the past. They had Eddie Pepperell pranking Matt Wallace. Now they're pranking spectators. I don't know if you saw this video, but what they did is they set up a booth of, like, see inside the European Tour. And what they did is they brought these people into the booth with their hosts, and it was a fake booth, and they pretended they were on live TV and had them try to, like, analyze golf shots and stuff. And this lady's freaking out. They're like, all right, and over to you, Barbara. And she's like, yep. Yeah. And she can't formalize. Yeah. And then there's this other kid that he's clearly using it as an audition tape. He thinks he can do, oh, it's great, but nobody's safe on the European tour. But these guys are hilarious. And then on top of that, they do these like games where 14 clubs, you're on a par three.
Yeah, I did see that one. Oh, I did see that one.
Just entertaining. And that's another shout out. Go back to our previous episode where we talked with Rue McDonald about that. He's a member of that social media team for the European tour, but they just do it right. They're having a lot of fun over on the European tour. It makes you want to watch it too.
It really does. And I mean, they really figured it out. Not only did they, you know, sit down and figure out a good strategy, but you know, they were wise to get the players to really buy in and see how much this does for them and how much fun it is to do some of these challenges and some of these other types of events. And as a result of it, it's got them a lot of traction. And I notice that right now on social media, there's a lot more people that are paying attention to the European tour. And, you know, they're getting up early to watch some of these events because they're getting to know the characters. They're getting to know the, you know, the Eddie Pepperells, they're getting to know the Matt Wallaces, they're getting to know, you know, Tyrrell Hatton. You know, they're finding out about these players through social media. As a result of it, they sort of get tied to that player. They get engaged with them and they say, you know, I want to watch this guy play because, you know, they're a fun person. They enjoy the game. That's how I enjoy the game. You know, they may be saying that, you know, they're obviously skilled and they're taking the game seriously, but they're enjoying it at the same time. And that carries through, I think, for the fans as well.
Well, we all started playing golf because it was fun. And I think that's just a great reminder by the European Tour to keep golf fun. If it's not fun, then stop doing it. So I love it. Go watch the European Tour. Go follow their Instagrams and their Twitters because they're amazing people behind the scenes and they just throw out great content. Scotty, I'm going to let you go. Get you back on the road now. I'll wrap this bad boy up. You have anything else you want to go over before we end it?
No, all good for me. I'm just heading down later on this week to the Osprey Valley Open. So I'm going to check in first Mackenzie Tour event of the year and meet up with some other journalist guys down there and see a little bit of that. So I'll have some insight on that when we chat again next week. And just looking forward to Scottish Open as well. It's happening at the Renaissance Club this week. And I think if people want to look at it, it's not a traditional links golf course. It's a Tom Doak design, but it's got some fabulous holes that are along the Firth of Forth. And the golf course is located next to Muirfield. So there's going to be some beautiful visuals there. So if people want to tune into the European Tour this week and check that out, I think they'll really appreciate the golf course.
Also, if you're in the area, definitely go watch the Osprey Valley Open. Jerry D's playing. And that's going to be entertaining. And, you know, there's a lot of great spots. And as we've talked about with the Mackenzie Tour over and over, somebody you see out there is going to be a PGA Tour winner, a multiple-time PGA Tour winner, a major champion one day. You know, it's happened time and time again. Go watch them. It's great golf. You won't notice a difference.
Definitely. I agree with that 100%. So yeah, if you're down in the Caledon area, the Osprey Valley Open, TPC at Toronto at Osprey Valley. And if you don't happen to get to that event and see it, it's a great facility. Got 54 holes there and they're great golf courses. They're Doug Carrick designs, which he did the design at Magna. And Doug Carrick, I hear, might be at our golf journalist event later this week. So hopefully I might be able to catch up with him there.
All right. Well, I got to go talk to him about the amount of bunkers he puts on golf courses. So I'll I'll catch up with you then. All right, Scott, I'll let you go and I'll wrap this up for you.
Cheers.
And that's it. It was for Scotty, just me now. We are back next week. We're going to do a full breakdown of the Open Championship, our predictions as usual. Nick's not around it right now, but you can probably guess he's going to pick Tiger. He always does. Full breakdown of that, our betting favorites, our dark horses, the usual. You know what you're going to get from us. But before I wrap this whole thing up, I need you to subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter at Flagstick Golf. A lot of good content on there where you're going to find out more about the podcast and what else we have going on outside of this. Outside of that, make sure you rate us. We need 5 stars. 5 stars only. All right. Thank you for listening, folks. Appreciate it. Everyone have a lovely weekend. Get out on the golf course. Have fun. And remember, swing your swing. It works for Matt Wolf. It'll work for you. All right. See you later.